Okay, let's begin. Shalom Aleichem Blazer, Mr. Kolodny.
Good evening.
Good evening. Mayor, are you there, Mayor? You're hiring in the background? Pasuk Chaf Aleph. Be'ol Moed nichutz l'paroiches. Ne'ol Moed, Pasuk Chaf Aleph on screen. Ne'ol Moed outside the paroiches. Outside the paroiches. Wait, let me move this one here on my screen. I can't see. It's in the way Okay. Be'ol Moed. And ne'ol Moed nichutz l'paroiches asher ha'idus. In the Ol Moed, outside the Paroiches, Asher Al Ha'idus. What does that mean? Asher means near the Eidus. Eidus refers to the Oroin. So in the Kodesh HaKadoshim is the Eidus. Outside the Kodesh HaKadoshim is the Ol Moed, is the Menorah. And we all know that the Heichal is divided into two parts. In the very end is the Kodesh. Is the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Okay, it's the Kodesh HaKadoshim. And outside the Kodesh HaKadoshim is the Kodesh. In the Kodesh, there are three items. There is the Shulchan, the Menorah, and the Mizbeach HaZohav. Now, in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, there is what's called the Eidus. We have many different terms to describe the Oroin. The Oroin, which contains the Luchos, is called the Eidus. So outside, now the Ol Moed, we're calling here in this pasuk the Heichal, the place of the Kodesh, where we have the place where we have the Menorah, the Shulchan, and the Mizbeach. That is called the Ol Moed, which is outside of the Paroiches. That is outside of the Kodesh HaKadoshim, and in the Kodesh HaKadoshim Asher Al Ha'edus, which is adjacent to the Kodesh HaKadoshim, which contains the Oroin, we have the Menorah. And on the Menorah, Ya'aroich say Aroin Levanav Me'er Abayichal Lefnei Hashem, Aroin and his children shall kindle it from Erev Abayker before Hashem, Chukas Oilam Ledoi Roisam. This is a law for all of your generations, Me'es B'nei Yisrael, from the Jewish people. Now we just take this pasuk for granted. We don't really pay much attention. We don't think what we're saying, but there's a ton of information and insight into everything that exists in this world, in this pasuk. Okay, there's a lot going on here. Let's hear the Rashi. Rashi pasuk chafalif says, Me'erev ad boiker, the candle shall be lit from the evening until the morning. Teim lo midasa shedehei dolekes me'erev ad boiker. You have to put into the nair, into the receptacle, enough oil, a measure, that it shall remain lit for the entire evening. How much oil? V'shi'aroi chachomim chatzei loig lelele teves ho'aruchin. In the winter, the longest nights of the year, that's the gold standard. Now, if you wouldn't see this Rashi, let's just read the whole Rashi, which means that you have to put it on the foil, the longest nights of the year, it can be almost 18 hours. 18 hours in the longest nights of the year, you have to have enough oil to go for 18 hours. And how much oil do you need? V'sheruch achamim chatzi loig lelele teres haruchim, a half of a loig. A chatzi loig. It's a lot of oil. V'chem l'chol halelois. Now here's the chiddush. Okay, whatever the shear is, a chatzi loig of shemen. Okay, just to get an idea of a loig, it's basically two kiddush cups. When we make kiddush Friday evening, we make a kiddush on a revius. What's a revius? A revius of a loig, or a lug. A revius. How much is a revius? Somewhere between 3 and 5 ounces. An ounce is a whiskey shot. A small, you know, the disposable, the standard plastic disposable whiskey cups that they have in shul. When someone makes a tikkun after davening or a Shabbos kiddush, they have these disposable whiskey cups. It's exactly 1 ounce. You turn it upside down and you look at the plastic, you will see that it says 1.0Z, 1 ounce. So a revius are three of those. Okay, Rav Chaim Noe says that a revius is 3 ounces, and Rav Eliashiv, who is a Gadol Hador, the undisputed Gadol Hador, he basically said, I'm going to say it in some very rough language, don't confuse me with the Chazon Ish, with Rav Moshe Feinstein, with all of these different shiurim. The bottom line is, Klal Yisrael has accepted a revius is 3 ounces. Finished. Okay, 3 ounces. Now that's for the Rabbanans. For Daraisa, when is it a Daraisa? Maybe the first night, the first course of Kiddush Friday night, and not even that. All right, it's not so simple, but basically, let's just put it aside for now. 3 ounces is a revius. So you know what that means? If that's a quarter of a loig, what is a half of a loig? 6 ounces. It's not all that much. 6 ounces is not so much. That's like a big becher. Okay, the big becher you have over your this cup. What is this cup? I have some liquid inside here. I don't wanna go turn upside down on my head, but it probably says here underneath, it says here.
12 ounces.
How many ounces does it's no, it doesn't say. How many ounces is this? I don't know. This is probably like
12. Well,
this is 12? No, not 12. Maybe I don't know. I think it could be. That's a lot. So how much oil? Okay, 12 ounces, okay, fine, 12 ounces, that means how much oil? Half. That would mean half of this cup. Half of this cup would be basically a chatzi loig of shemen. That's how much oil you need to go for the longest nights of the winter, for about 18 hours. Is that really true? I guess it is. It sounds right. It sounds correct. I used to light Neros for Shabbos. I would always try to get it to go the whole Shabbos. We would put these massive cups and fill it up with oil all over the top, put floating wicks, we would double the wicks. Three wicks, three floaters, it shouldn't tumble. And it would go. It wouldn't go all the way, it would go until after Shachris. Everyone would come and say, wow, what a miracle. The Neiros of Chanukah are still going. It's no miracle, excuse me. It's just that you put enough oil and you put a good wick, it'll go for 18 hours. You put a little wick and you have more than one float to keep it going. You double the floats. You know the floats? One is not enough. It'll tip. But if you put two floats, or three might not be too good because three can be too much. The ear doesn't get in, but two floats is very good. You can go a very, very long time. And it makes a lot of sense. A chatzi loig, 6 ounces, enough oil for an average-sized wick to go for 18 hours. Now, along comes Rashi. Rashi says something very important. And this is something which is very interesting, Rashi says, because people totally ignore this Rashi. Because there's a Gemara that says different than this Rashi, and that says that they would adjust the thickness of the wicks according to the time of the year. So in the summertime, when the nights are very short, they had thicker wicks. And in the wintertime, they had thinner wicks. So there's a lot of chidushim here in this Rashi, because if you're able to adjust the thickness of the wicks, I would say that the standard should be the equinox. And in the winter, you make the wicks thinner. And in the summer, you make the wicks thicker. No, that's not the way it goes. You never make the wicks thinner, because that's not nice. It always has to light nice. So the standard of the longest day nights of the year. That's the standard. That's the starting point. And then you have to have the same amount of oil. So what are you going to do on the short nights of the summer? So many people, if you'll ask them, they'll tell you, well, during the short nights of the summer, you just adjust the wick by making the wick thick. But that's not what Rashi says. Rashi says you put in the same amount of oil, and whatever happens, happens. If the menorah keeps on going until 9 o'clock in the morning, 10 o'clock in the morning, Rashi says in Yoiser, Ein bikach klum. This is not a precise science. You have to put in a chatzi loig. And in the summertime, if you put a chatzi loig and you have the wick and it goes until 12 o'clock during the day, good for you. No problem. Okay, now let's see. Now, there really is a problem. You know why there really is a problem? Is that's because in the morning, the Kohen comes in, they do the Hatovas Haneiros. They have to clean the menorah. So what does that mean exactly? I'm assuming, does that mean that they extinguish? It would seem that they come in the morning and the menorah is still lit. When they do the Avodah, they have to prepare the menorah for the following night. So what happens if they come in the morning and the menorah is still going? It would seem that what they have to do is they have to extinguish the Neros. And that's very interesting, because today a lot of holy people are afraid to ever extinguish a candle. They don't want to extinguish a candle, but they're just afraid to do so. And if they do extinguish, they extinguish it by blowing. They don't want to blow on it. They do things to cause the candle to go out indirectly. Now, most of us have no problem extinguishing candles. If you light a candle and then you're done, so it's done. You know, you blow it out. Havdalah, you put out the candle. You put the candle in the ayin.
But that's a superstition. That's a Kabbalah. It has nothing to do.
It has to be. Listen, I don't know how to say otherwise. But the Pashup Shad is that in the Beis Hamikdash, when they came in the morning, the Neros was still lit. Most of the year, for sure. And they had to extinguish it. They had to extinguish the Neros of the Menorah to do the Hatava.
And on the Mizbeach, when they had to take the Asher, they set up the Maracha and something was still burning.
So that's not necessarily true. Then they can, whatever is burning, they can push to the side. Whatever is burning, they push to the center. And whatever is not burning, they can move away. They can separate things that are burning from what's not burning. That doesn't seem to be a problem. But the menorah would have to be extinguished, because they put in exactly enough oil for it to last on the longest night, the longest nights of the year. That means 364 days of the year, the menorah is burning longer than it needs to. And the first thing they did in the morning was they brought the carbon tamid. After the tamid, they went and they did the hatavas hamenorah, which means they come and they prepare the menorah for the following evening. They clean the ash, they clean everything up, they put in new oil, they get it ready in the morning. If the early in the morning, at 5-6 o'clock in the morning, it's very likely most of the year the menorah is still lit. It's still going. So what do? They have to obviously extinguish it. There's no other way to explain it. So you see, it's not so terrible to extinguish a ner when the ner has done its job. Okay, let's see the Targum. Targum and Pasuk Chaf Aleph. Targum says, B'mashkan zimna. Okay, the oil that we had this when we started. One of the first things that we did when we learned, we started this shiur about almost a year ago, about half a year ago, a little more. When we started this shiur, we learned about the oil moed. My whole life, I always assumed the word moed means meeting. It is a tent of meeting. Asher ivoed lecha shama. We have festivals, the moadim. What are the moadim? Festivals, times when we meet. When we come together, when we meet Hashem in the Beis Hamikdash, that's the way we like to translate the word Moed. However, the Targum does not translate the word Moed. He always consistently translates the word Moed means temporary. Moed means it's only for the time. This Mishkan, this structure that was built by Moshe Rabbeinu and Klal Yisrael in the desert, was only temporary. And that's why it's always called the Ohel Moed. This should one day be transformed into a permanent structure, into a bias. Right now it's a tent that is temporary. That's the meaning of the word Moed. B'mashkan zimna, in the tent that is temporary. Mibara, outside. Lifo ruchto, outside the curtain. The al soha dusa, the curtain is what covers. It is what is adjacent, it shelters the testimony. Okay, the paroiches is asher al hoedus. And this is something which it's later in the parashah, on the parashios, and that is the paroiches is not resting horizontally upon the oroin. Right? It's vertical. The paroiches is vertical against the aroin. Why then does it say the word al ho'edus? If we were to translate these words literally, it would sound like that the paroiches, this curtain, is resting horizontally right on top of the aroin. And that's not true. So the answer is, I'll give you one of two answers. One is al does not necessarily mean horizontally above. Al means near, etzel, adjacent. But there's a better answer. And the other answer is that we know that the Kodesh HaKodoshim is not a place that is subject to the laws of nature. The Kodesh HaKodoshim is a mokoyim that has a different set of rules. Chazal say that if you were to theoretically go into the Kodesh HaKodoshim and you were to measure the space from the edge of the Oroin to the wall, and then measure the space from the edge of the opposite side of the Oroin to the opposite wall, the dimensions would be exactly the space from wall to wall as if the Oroin did not exist. The Oroin was Einai Min Hamid. It did not take up any space. When you make measurements, the measurements you would make of the space, it would defy the laws of nature. This Mokim, this chamber was beyond, it was the embassy of Hashem in this world. Mahavdal Elif Alfei Havdalos, just like we know that if you go today a country as an embassy, when you go into the embassy, you're entering into another country. And the country that is so kind to allow them to have an embassy, for them to enter illegally into that building that they've given them, it is an act of war. If the United States would go into the Chinese embassy uninvited, it's as if they flew a plane, a B-9 bomber into China and dropped missiles. It's an act of war to enter into someone's embassy. It's totally immune, totally immune. If you read about Jonathan Pollard, where did he run? He ran into the embassy, the Israeli embassy. And they basically, they threw him out. You know, I mean, they, I don't know, was he in, was he not in? He was partially in, it's not sort of the gate. And they couldn't, the United States couldn't come in. They were not permitted to come in to go get him. He could have, he just wanted to stay there until somehow they can sneak him out. When no one's watching, they can just somehow sneak him out and who knows, and bring him to Israel. And no, they gave the order. The United States didn't know what to do. Yeah, I don't remember, it's not so long ago. I forget everything so quickly. And they basically, they were having major discussions in the White House, what to do. No, not in the White House, in the Knesset, what to do. Okay, the highest level government officials were debating what to do with him. And they made a big mistake. They gave an order and they said, throw him out. Send him to the wolves. And once he's out of the embassy, that's it. Now, the Kodesh HaKodoshim is the embassy of the Ribbono Shel Olam in this world. And just like in Shemayim, there's no such thing as time and space. There's no time, there's no space. That's the Kodesh HaKadoshim. I'll give you an example. What do you put in the Kodesh HaKadoshim? There are many things. There was the Oren, there was also the Tzinsenes Hamon. Hashem said to Moshe, I want you to take a container of mon and put the mon l'mishneres in the Kodesh HaKodoshim. Question is, what's that going to accomplish? Everyone knows that the mon only lasted one day. The mon did not have a shelf life more than one day. We take the mon every day at the end of the day. The Pasuk says it became wormy. It disintegrated when the day was over. So putting the mon in the Kodesh HaKodoshim as a mishmeres for all generations, it's not going to last more than one day. What are you talking about, Lidoro Sechem? So you'll answer me, oh, well, you know, this is an exception. Hashem said to do this, so therefore this is an exception. You don't need to come on to that. It's very simple. The Kodesh HaKodoshim, there's no such thing as time. It's a different world. There's no such thing as measurements. Neither. There's no zman. The Kodesh HaKodoshim is a place that is not subject to the laws of nature, the laws of time. Only in this world, after 24 hours, after 12 hours, does the mon decay. Does it disintegrate? Because it's affected by the zman of this world, the nature of this world. But in the Kodesh HaKodoshim, there's no such thing as zman. Okay, so there's no mokoim, there's no zman. When the Kohen Gadol goes in there, it's not so simple. It's like you're going into a place, you know, you're going into a time zone, you know, some science fiction movie. When you go into the Kodesh, the Kohen Gadol goes in the Kodesh HaKodoshim, what's exactly happening to him? Today, we all know when an astronaut goes, Slahatul Elif Alfi Adolf, an astronaut goes to the moon, or he goes to the space station, there's permanent damage to his body. When you go to a place where there's no gravity, for an extended period of time, you're in a lot of trouble. Neil Armstrong, you ever see that, how he walked? The Apollo astronauts, they suffer their whole life because when you go into these places, you don't belong there. This is not your natural habitat. The Kodesh HaKadoshim is not a natural place for a human being. And it's not so simple. Someone could survive being there when the Divine Presence is there. Now, why am I telling you all this? It's a long-winded thing. It's because that's what it means over here. Asher al ho'edos. The rules of something being vertical and horizontal only apply to things in this world. In this world, in this physical world, something called Eitzel, near, which means vertical, and there's something called Al, which means horizontal. But when you're dealing with a cube, with a Mokoyim, that is totally not subject to time, to measurements, to life and death, it's a completely different Mokoyim than the rules of vertical and horizontal don't apply. When you're vertical, when you're standing vertically adjacent to the Kodesh HaKadoshim, from the perspective of the Kodesh HaKadoshim, it's as if you're hovering above it. Because again, this is not a place of gravity, a place of dimension, a place of time. So therefore, there's no problem of using the word Al Ho'edus, even in a literal sense. The Paroiches is Mavil ben HaKodesh ben HaKodesh HaKadoshim, and the Paroiches is considered to be hovering above. Excuse me, it's not above, it's vertical. No. It's vertical if you're making a Paroiches in your home, putting up a curtain in your home, then you'll say that it's vertical. But the Kodesh HaKadoshim, which is a Makom that is not subject to the laws of nature, you don't use the word, it's a different dimension. And the word Al is appropriate. It's as if the Paroich is hovering above. Okay, now let's go back over here to the Targum. So the Mashkan Zimman, the temporary structure, be on the outside of the Paruchto, the Al Sa'adusa, that which is Al Sa'adusa, on top of the Luchos, Yastar is lighting the Menorah. Now that's a very interesting thing. Ya'aroich, here we have a connection between this amazing thing. Because everyone will tell you we come to the night of Pesach, the Pesach Seder. Which holiday is the most similar to the Pesach Seder, the Pesach? I guess Chanukah. Why? Because both Chanukah and Pesach have in common Nisim Lema'ala. Pesach and Purim have nothing in common. Zero. Pesach is all about Dam, Tzardeya, Kinim, Orev, Dever, Shrin, Makas Bechoros, Yitzias Mitzrayim, Gilu Shchina, miracles and miracles and miracles. Everything is L'malo, Miderech HaTeva. Chanukah is also L'malo, Miderech HaTeva. We learned from Sefer Yosifun about in the time of Chanukah there were these signs in the sky, miraculous visions happening in the world. And we learned that and the Nes of Chanukah was clearly L'malo Miderech HaTeva. And the wars were also miraculous. When we have a Seder, the Pesach Seder, how do we do the mitzvah, all the mitzvahs halayla? It's done against the backdrop of what we call the Pesach Seder. Chanukah, we light the menorah to commemorate the kindling of the menorah in the Beis HaMikdash. What is the word that is used in the Torah to describe the kindling of the menorah? Ya'aroich oisoi aharoin uvonov me'erev al-boiker lefnei Hashem. Ya'aroich. And what does the word ya'aroich mean? Seder. Seder. So there's a Pesach Seder, and Chanukah, and the lighting of the menorah is also called Yastar. Yastar Yosei. They shall arrange it, Aharon Uvnohi Me Rashma. Me Rashma means the evening. at Safra until the morning, Kodam Hashem, before Hashem, Kiyam Olam, this shall be a law. Kiyam means a law, Olam, forever. Ledorei Hoin, for all generations, Min Bnei Yisrael, as a service of the Jewish people to Hashem. Let's see the Perush, and then we'll come back and we'll tie it up together with Rashi. Rashi over here says, B'mashkan Zimla, okay, this we always have, B'mashkan Zimla, in the temporary structure. Yesh Oimim, some say, Shakavon Shamishkan Nechoya Zimani. The word Zimla means it was a temporary structure. L'fisho'oh. So why is it temporary? So he's saying, oh, he's a little more deeper than we learned last time we learned this topic. Because they took it apart. They disassembled the Mishkan. Every time the Amud Ha'anan, Amud Ha'esh moved, the Amud Ha'anan moved, it's time to travel. Everyone get into your station wagon. Get ready. Take down your tents, get all your possessions. We're moving, we're going. So the Mishkan itself only stood when they were stationary. When the clouds began to move, they disassembled the Mishkan. It's called Zimna temporary. Not like I told you originally, it was temporary because the goal was to build a permanent structure for Hashem. The reason why we are calling it temporary is because even in the Midbar itself, it only stood temporarily. When they traveled, they took it apart. Okay, Shabbat ben Nisoya Machna, so. The head of Menuch HaMikdash, Sha'asa Shlomo, Shlomo, they never moved anywhere. They didn't go anywhere. It stayed Shakar, it's called Shemikra, Beis Oilamim. What is, now we have a very good appreciation. This is very beautiful. I never appreciated this. Why is the Beis HaMikdash called a Beis Oilamim? A home that's everlasting. What does that mean? A home that's everlasting. No, it's not. The binyan of Shlomo HaMelech didn't last forever. It was destroyed. Why is the Beis HaMikdash called Oilamim? The answer is relative to the Mishkan. The Mishkan was meant to be taken apart. It was crafted. It's a very deep idea. I certainly never appreciated this idea. Is that when they built the Mishkan, when you started the parash, last week's parash, Parashas Terumah. Now, not Parashas Tetzav. I don't know about clothing. Yeah, there's something which is a very interesting time. We have to delve into this more about Parash Tetzav. But when you learn about the Mishkan, you have to appreciate the Mishkan was constructed as something which can be taken apart. It's not a model for construction. When you construct the bias, you don't build the bias with the intent that, okay, maybe we're going to take this bias, this home, and we're going to bring it to another state. I get fed up with New York, living in New York City, because the real estate tax are going through the roof, and they're raising all the rates, the electricity and the utilities, so you know what? I'm going to take my home and we're going to take it apart. We're going to unscrew everything. We're going to put it in big boxes. I'm going to call a trailer to come and take my home to a new location. And there we will reassemble it. It doesn't work that way. When you built the home was meant to be built and it's never going to go anywhere. It's not going to move. When they built the Mishkan, when Hashem commanded them to build the Mishkan, He commanded them to build a structure like something you buy in Staples. You can assemble it and you can disassemble it. It was a structure that was made l'chatchila to be taken apart. That's why it's called the Mashkan Zimna. Mashkan Zimna means you can buy it in Staples or Lowe's. It's something which comes in a box and you put it up, you put it together, and when you're finished, you take it apart. That is the nature of the Mishkan. That's why it's called Mashkan Zimna. Today it's up. Tomorrow we put it into a box, and then we put it up again. It's like a sukkah. A sukkah is built, is made l'chatchila, to take apart. They give you special types of screws, special clamps, all for the purpose of taking it apart. The Beis HaMikdash is called the Beis Olamim. It's never meant to be taken apart. It's meant to remain, stay put the way it is forever and ever. If there's a Chorban, that's not what we're discussing. It's, just, it's a matter of the nature of the construction of the structure. V'cheinu b'zoyer, ayin ha'ksadak ha'bola aval, l'chore yeshkab l'far shatavim b'shutai k'nu k'radak, shemiko oil moed, the other perish. Why is it called oil moed? Shehu miloshen ha'shel ivo'e lochem, shuloshen zimun. Now, I don't know how he reads that. Zimun means it's a place of preparation. Zimun means designation, or zimun, it means to meet. It's a meeting place. That's how I always understood the meaning. Oil, the tent of a meeting. It's a place to meet. Now, if it's a place of meeting, he's not explaining why then is it called Zimna. Zimna. So he says, maybe saying something different, maybe. Asher ivo'e lochem, shulashoim zimun. Zimun, you know, we bench. What does it mean to do zimun? Zimun means we come together. I never thought about that. We bench. We have a birchas hazimun. What is zimun? I don't even know. I'm embarrassed to tell you. It means we come together. I thought it meant zimun. I think it means over here to prepare. Zimun. He's saying no. Zimun means it's another word of coming together. That's what it seems. Coming together. And when it says zimna, he's suggesting does not mean time, temporary time, temporary. It means coming together. And it's the mashkan, the dwelling place where Hashem comes together, meets Moshe, and meets Klal Yisrael. Okay, I guess that's what it means. When you make a brachas hazimun, the brach of zimun, it means where you invite. Zimun means, I guess, to invite, to have other people join you. You extend an invitation to come together. And I guess that's what we have to say when it says the mashkan zimna. It's a very basic term. The ohel moed. The mashkan zimna, does it mean temporary, or does zimna means miloshem zimun, birchas hazimun, to meeting? An invitation is extended to our guest to meet us at this location. Okay, now we come to the word yarech. This is a very good word, yarech, which he translates to mean yastar, arrangement. Yarech l'shoin aricha v'seder. D'loy ke ha Avraham Ben Ezra, b'shem Yefes. Remember that? There's a fellow whose name is Yefes. I think Mayor Appleworth once told me how many times it says with Yefes in Tanakh in his parish. Someone actually counted the number of times that this person whose name is Yefes, was he Jewish? I don't think so. I'm not so sure this person Yefes was even Jewish. And some reason the Ibn Ezra was enamored with him. He seemed to know quite a bit, and he actually quotes him. Today that would be scandalous. Could you imagine? A Rashiva gives a shir, we go to Brisk, and the Rashiva gives a shir, and the shir is a chakita, the din, and the din of a shor, shnogach sapara, or the kashmir, and in order to shed light on the sugya, he'll quote you what the guy says. Yefes. Okay, Yefes, okay, fine. The ha ra'avam. Who's the ra'avam? This is the Mizrahi, I believe. Maybe not, I don't know what this is. Quotes him a lot over here. Ve'ho'a Rabbi Avraham ben Mizrahi, maybe it's the Mizrahi, I'm not sure. She'peirushoi, she'yisho'er, you shall measure es kamus Hashemen, the measure of oil, she'yalek arabayke, you shall measure. Ya'arech means, so he's saying something different than what it says over here in Rashi, which we're going to come to in a few moments. He calls the Shari Aaron, very interesting. You know what the Shari Aaron is? Shai Aaron is a massive set. You don't see this so much anymore now, Shai Aaron. It's a massive set. It's a very good set. They have here in the shul, the whole set. It's a massive set. He actually quotes in it. Yosei, Kevon Shetirgim Ner Le'el Boitzina, Loshen Rabim, Hoyetzorach L'Targim Kan, Yoschoim B'Loshen Rabim. Okay, we'll explain in a moment. V'nira da Allah Shemin Amuska Le'el. So the oil, Musavak, one Shigisad Hashem, but if in Shigalik, okay, so let's go back and take a look at what he said based on his Chidushin. We can have a much greater appreciation when it says in the Targum. And when we have a greater appreciation of the Targum, we'll have even a greater appreciation of Rashi. So back to the passing. The Mashkan Zimna, which means either the Mashkan and the Mishkan, which is a temporary structure. It's meant to move. Mibara liparuchta, outside of the pareches. The al sahadusa, the pareches is adjacent or to the luchas. Mibara from the outside. Medalia al sahadusa. Here's the word. Yastar yosei. So let's focus on this. Yastar means to arrange. Yosei. Yosei is critical. Yosei is b'loshon yochid. Problem is, in the previous pasuk, it said the word ner. We said the whole shiur on this yesterday. Lalois ner tamid. Ner? If you were in fifth grade and wrote this pasuk, you would get an F. Lahalois nerois tamid. What's ner? Nerois. So the Targum does just that. He translates the word ner, bot sinaya, which is plural. The word bot sinaya, I don't know Aramaic, but all we know is that this word is candelabra of many neros. So the Targum went out of his way to say the word ner is really plural. It's like the collective noun. Although it says ner b'loshen yochid, but in this context it means the collective noun. It means all of the seven neros. So then he should be consistent that when it says na yaroich oisoi, look at this. So oisoi is also b'loshen yochid. It should say yaroich oisom b'loshen rabim. So the answer is the same reason why it said in the previous pasuk ner b'loshen yochid. That's why it says oisai b'loshen yochid. It's the collective noun. The problem is the targum is inconsistent, because when he translates the word ner, he says both sinayo, which is b'loshen rabim, but when it comes to the word oso, he says yosei, and not yoshoin. So the targum is making trouble. So what's the only answer that the Ma'at Sari can suggest? That we are forced, we have no choice but to understand that when it says the word Oso, it's not referring to the Neros. It's referring to the oil. Wait a minute, the oil. But didn't we learn in Rashi that you always put the exact same amount of oil into the menorah? The gold standard is the longest night of the year. Make a calculation. Chazal did just that, and the conclusion was it's a chatzi loig, 6 ounces of oil, and that's what you put in the menorah every single night. And if it's a short summer night, and this extra keeps on lighting, so be it. No problem. Got to be consistent. V'chein l'chol ha'layla al'alaylois. V'im yoyser ein b'kach klom. It would appear. Now, why did Rashi say that? Why did Rashi have to make that comment? Rashi has nothing else to say. You know the answer is? Because Rashi is coming to disagree with the Targum. The Targum holds every night it was a science. You analyze how the time of the year, how long does the menorah have to remain lit tonight? And it was a precise calculation, and they put into the menorah exactly the amount of oil that is necessary for the menorah to remain lit from tonight until tomorrow. They went down into the small teeny mashu to figure out the precise measure. Ya'aroich oiso, you shall arrange a calculation, an arrangement of the oil. Every night it's different. How do we know this has to be the pshat? Because we're putting everything together. That's what he's doing over here. Because since the previous one says botzinayah, and here it says the word yosei, does not say the word yosein, and he does use an unusual word of yastar, which, what does it mean ya'aroich? Does ya'aroich mean, does it mean the kindling? We had before l'ha'alois ner, l'ha'alois. And now it changes from the word l'ha'alois to the word ya'aroich. So when we learn Rashi, we basically said the word ya'aroich and the word l'ha'alois is the same. The kindling of the menorah shall take place every single evening, me'erah b'iker. And when it says the word ner, ner is the collective noun, which means seven neros. And when it says oiso, we're being consistent. So in the Olam, b'chutz ha'pareches, ya'aroich oiso, the candelabra shall be arranged. It shall be kindled. Aaron Nevona, Merva Baker, Lefnei Hashem. Merva Baker, put the same amount of oil, the longest night of the year, and with this extra is extra. Rashi made all of those comments to reject the Targum, who learns that every night they put a different amount of oil. And when it says Ner, indeed it means the seven eras. But here we're not discussing the Ner, we're discussing the oil. Makes a lot of sense also, because it would be repetitious to say Ya'aruch and to say Lahalas and Ya'aruch. Here we're discussing the lighting of the candle, the fire, and here we're discussing the fuel. Take the oil that Shem and Zayizach, and now make a calculation and put into the menorah exactly what you need, and don't waste one little drop of oil. Only what you need, that's what goes into the candelabra. Ya'aruch has Arduvam, arrange the oil Arduvam Mebelov Ne'ashem. Amazing. See, whoever knows this stuff, enough of the safe over here. Again, let's read over here how we bring this all out. Are we looking at Yastar, Ya'aruch, Lashon, Aricha V'Seder. With Loki Ben Ezra, Shem Yevner, okay, then, I'm looking at the Ben Ezra, Ben Yefes, the Ravam, he explains, Sheyesha'er, he's now really going ahead, that what it means, Ya'aruch is going the oil. Sheyesha'er is Kamus, Hashemen, Sheyadlik es Alvaiker. How do you know that's the Pshat? Because it says Yosei. And Yosei Kevon, Shetigim Ner Le'el Beit Sinaya, B'loshen Rabim, Hoyetzorich Letargim Gamkan Yoshoin B'loshen Rabim. Why did the Targum was inconsistent? The Nira, because B'loshen Rabim, there are seven Neros, but there's only one container of oil. There's only one container. V'nir di al Hashem and Muskar Le'el. We're discussing the old Musa Bakavonot Sheyesader Hashem and Bo'ifen Sheyalik Neva Bo'iker. Okay, so this is, I think we've accomplished our goal in bringing out Machloikas. We're bringing out Machloikas. Machloikas between Rashi and the Targum. The Pashup Shan, the Pasuk, is Ya'aruch going on the candles, the kindling of the candles? Or is it going on... Is it going on the amount of oil? All right, let's just read what we're going to do. We have 1 minute. Let's read just a teeny drop over here. Maybe we'll learn one more line over here very quickly. The Atah, we now go into a new topic. The Atah, you, Moshe, Hakrev Elecha, bring near you as Aaron, Nechicha, the Espan of Ital, Bitach, the Yishon, Lechanali, to make them into crown. Now we're going to initiate Aharon and his children into the service. Aharon, Nadav Aviu, Elazar v'Isamar b'nei Aharon. Okay, here are the four children of Aharon. This is before the tragedy. Before the tragedy, Nadav Aviu are alive. Elazar v'Isamar, five people are joining the service. Five people. Agudosoy al Eretz Yosta. Originally, five people were initiated into the service of being Kohen. Aaron and his four sons, Nadav, Va'avihu, Elazar, V'Isamar. The Atah is the second Atah. First was the Atah Tetzaveh, and now is the Atah. It could have said the same thing we said yesterday. It should have really said, Vaydaber Hashem El Moshe Lemar. Daber el Aharon achicha v'akreiv oisoi elecha. It could have said, it should have followed a regular pattern of Hashem said to Moshe, initiate Aaron. We'll figure out some words. Why? Because of the rule, mocheini no misifrech asher kasavta Moshe Rabbeinu said to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, erase me from your Torah, and it was fulfilled in Parashas Tetzaveh. Moshe is not mentioned, therefore we have to be Meshane from what it would have said to the word the Atah. The second time we Atah. The Rashi, Ashi, very short Rashi, the Atah, Krev, Lachash, Tigma, Melechas, and Mishkan. This is when the Melacha is over. That means something, this is a very powerful statement of Rashi. There were no Kohanim until after the Mishkan was complete. This is the opposite of the world. In this world, how does it work? You have a Rosh Shiva. You have a Rosh Shiva. You have a Rosh Shiva, you have a Rav. And He needs a building. He needs a yeshiva. He needs to make a bigger yeshiva. So he builds a yeshiva for himself. The Rashiva is the Kohen. The Atemtili Mamaleches Koyanim. I have a dream. I want to have my own yeshiva. I want to have my own shul. So what do? You're the Kohen Gadol. You've already decided that you will be the Kohen Gadol of your yeshiva, of your shul, of your organization. Now you go out fundraising to build the structure. That's the way it is in this world. The Mishkan wasn't like that. There was a building that was made. It's no one's building. No one is in charge. No one is in charge of the service. The people who will serve will be selected after it's over. And you know that changes everything. Because when you're building the yeshiva for yourself, you make sure there's a nice office. You make sure it's built the way you want it. In order to hear La'acha Shetigmar Meleches HaMishkan, that is when Aaron is going to be initiated into the... Now, why did Rashi say that? Has to be the Targum. Out of time, let's look very quickly over here. V'atim alel, you shall speak. In kol cha... No, I skipped the word passage. Pasuk al v'at korev levosach. It shall come near Yos Aaron, Achuch, your brother, Yos ben Ahi, Imei, Nigam ben Yeshua, Lishan Moshe, Kodomai. So to serve before me, Aroi, Nadav Aviu, Elazar, Misamar, Bnei Aroi. He lists all five in rapid succession. Aroi, Nadav, Aviu, Elazar, Misamar. And the Pasuk didn't say it like that. No, it did say it like that. It didn't say Aroi, Nadav Aviu, Elazar, Misamar. Okay. Here's the keyword, Lechahanoili, to be Meshamish. Let's see very quickly. We'll say on the bottom. Let's see what's very quickly. L'shon Moshe, L'shores, minister, L'shoin, shevach. L'shon Hakasav L'chahanoi, Ein perush yasu koyhein li. It doesn't make Ela sheyich yachnisenu L'sheimus. Ve'ho'iz vav mesefes, and the vav is extra. So it doesn't mean sheyasenu kohen li, make them a kohen for me, ela sheyachnisenu l'sheiros. What's the difference? Pasuk says v'ator hakriv lechaz alachicho v'espan v'tavidol v'yishol lechahanu li. What's he saying? This vav is extra. Lechahen li. He's saying here the word no, the vav in this pasuk lechahano. This vav is throwing us off, because the vav makes it sound like you're going to make him into a kohen. No, you're not. You're going to lichahinli. You're going to take away the vav, make lichahinli, which means he's going to minister for me. He already is a kohen. What we want from him is to work here. Isn't that what he seems to be saying? He's saying L'sham Moshe, to be Meshamish. He already got his degree. We're not coming here to give him smicha. Now, does Rashi agree with that? L'achar shetigma melechas ha-mishkan, l'kacho l'chanas devil, l'kacho l'achnisa l'chuhuna al yidei ha-begodim, she'koyin li. You see that? We hit it. They're arguing. Clear as day, they're arguing. Rashi clearly says the next pasuk, the goal is to make him into a kohen. Onkel says, no. He already is a kohen. That's old news. But just because he's a kohen, who says he's going to serve here? Maybe he'll serve in him. He'll do something else. He'll be a teacher. He'll be a malamed. He'll be in the Beis Din. He'll serve Jewish people in other ways. Who says he's going to work in the Beis HaMikdash? I want that he should get a job here in this building. But to make him into a Kohen, that's not what we're doing. So we're out of time, but basically, Machlokes Rashi and Unkelis is the purpose of the year, where he writes over the Big Day Kahuna, is it to make you into a Kohen? Or is it, no, you are a Kohen already. It's, we want you to serve. All right, we'll have to stop here. Thank you very much for coming and listening. Have a wonderful evening. All the best to everyone. Zai Gesundheit.
Good night, everybody.
Good night.
Norman, how is it in Montreal? Cold?
Got nice and warm today.
Yeah, a lot of the snow is going.
Yeah. Purim is supposed to be very nice. Chaim Berlin sent out a text, an email, a bulletin. There is no Masiba. Canceled. Canceled.
Why?
There will be no COVID.
But most people got the injection already, no?
Lakewood already 2 weeks ago. Lakewood 2 weeks ago canceled. There is no Masiba. Chaim Berlin is a much bigger Masiba than
Lakewood.
Lakewood,
I understand, because Malkiel says Sheva Altas.
Don't forget! Malkiel would say I have a Masiba. There's no doubt in my mind. I have no doubt in my mind that if there was a vote taken amongst the Russian Yeshiva, Malkiel would say to have a Masiba. I have no doubt in my mind.
So why didn't they listen?
Because he was outvoted. They don't listen to him. They listen to him almost nothing. The mamash don't listen to anything he says. But Chaim Berlin, you don't understand what Chaim Berlin. The Masiba of Chaim Berlin is Chaim Berlin. There is no Chaim Berlin if there's no Masiba.
Right. So why did they put it out?
They canceled. It's canceled. There's no Masiba.
Why?
Obviously, last year they had a Masiba, and they were probably severely. I'm guessing now. They were probably severely criticized, and people blame that Masiba as being a super spreader.